God is leading us into a time in August and September of spiritual renewal as we prepare for 40 days of purpose. I felt like I've got a mandate from God, and the staff feels that mandate to provoke more of the moving of the Holy Spirit in our midst, that God would come in the midst of his people and be mighty in them. Now, I don't know if you've ever been inspired by God, but the inspiration of God on a man's life, on a woman's life, is an amazing thing. And the way that he moves, God moves, is through inspiration. It says in the Bible that men were of old were moved upon by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote the scripture. They were moved upon. They were inspired. I was talking to a man that was 75 that was a neighbor of mine in Montana when we lived up there. And he went to a church all of his life, and he came down. He was an artist. And we were talking, and I was talking to him about the five senses of man, and he knew about those five senses. And then I talked about the sixth sense, in which the Spirit of God brings inspiration and creativity, and there is the impression of God upon the soul of man. And this 75-year-old man began to cry. And he said, "All my life I've been going to church, and I've never heard this before. I've never heard about the inspiration, the sixth sense, the impression of God upon the human spirit." And he said, "I knew that I had a gift from God. I knew that it didn't come out of my intellect, it didn't come out of my emotions, but it came out of my inner being." But he said, "I didn't have a theological way to figure it out and practically show it to you." And as he cried, he said, "I understand now how God has been inspiring me to do my artwork." He says, "I feel the hand of God when I paint and when I do my art." If you've watched Chariots of Fire, which is an Academy Award-winning movie, it's about a young man, it's a Christian that runs in the Olympics, and he says when he runs, he feels the hand of God upon his life. He feels the inspiration of God. Recently, I called somebody just out of the blue, out of just a series of, I've thought about the family, and then I thought about this young teenage girl in the family. I had not seen her for a while, and I love the parents a lot, but I just had a love flow towards the teenage girl, and I called the home, and I talked to the father, and I said, "Gary, can I talk to your daughter?" And he says, "Yeah." And he put her on the line, and well, before he put her on the line, I said, "Gary, can I talk to your daughter?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "You know, I've just felt that I needed to call her today. I just felt like a real love flow towards her." And he said, "You know, you don't realize today's her birthday." And it's a kind of a confusing situation, but the biological mother is not in the home. There's a lot of problems there, and she has rejected the daughter, and there's just a big mess there. And so he put her on the phone, and it was just the ideal moment to call. Now, did God tell me to do that? I think so, but he didn't audibly tell me to do it. I didn't have a vision of this young lady. It was just an inspiration. And so often, God inspires his people. But we need to look for that inspiration. We need to provoke that inspiration. We need to get into a place that God can touch us by his spirit. Because God works in the spirit man, and we need to learn how to respond to him. So I want to talk to you about inspiration from Father God. 2 Timothy 1:6 says an interesting thing to Timothy. It says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." He says, "Timothy, I want to tell you, you've got a gift inside of you and you need to stir it up." In other words, God's put a deposit of himself within you, but it's up to you to stir that up, to begin to inspire the moving of the Holy Spirit. And as you begin to do certain things to provoke the supernatural, then God's gift will manifest. And so, people of God, we have a part in the inspiration of God in our lives. Now, Timothy traveled with Paul and saw whole cities turn to Jesus Christ through the supernatural ministry of Paul. He saw demons cast out, people healed, salvation come into people's life and turn them around. And Timothy had seen this supernatural manifestation of God in cities through the ministry of Paul. And yet, Timothy had the tendency to neglect the spiritual gift. Now, if Timothy had that, I know that you and I do every so often come to church not really expecting God to come among us and inspire us in a service. We think that we'll just go through an hour and a half and then go home. And that's all good and well, but I believe that God is more than just an hour and a half service. He wants to inspire us while we're here, and then when we go out in the marketplace, to anoint us to be his people. And sometimes we neglect. We need to be reminded of who lives inside of us. God lives inside of you. Acts 10:38 says this, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Isn't that an amazing verse? Jesus was anointed. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he went about, and you're going to go about your kids this morning. Matter of fact, some of you have already been around your kids this morning, and you weren't inspired by God. You were inspired by a tired body and a tired mind and irritated emotions, and you've gone around your employees and employer. You've gone around this community not inspired by God, but inspired by other things. Jesus went about doing good and healing all. Say all. That were oppressed of the devil. You know there are people around you that are oppressed of the devil? That you'll see every day, and if your eyes were open to see with the inspiration of God, you would see oppression, and then you would be able to go out and minister to them life. You'll see them in restaurants. You'll see them in your family. So often we miss what God is doing and wanting to do around us because we're not looking for his inspiration. We're not remembering that God is inside of us and he can have a love flow through us towards somebody that we don't even know. And so we're not waiting. We're not expectant. We're not looking for God's inspiration. And God wants us to be inspired because he hates the works of the devil. He hates that people are oppressed. He hates that people are in bondage. And it's through his church that he sets the captive free. It's through his church that he works. And Roberto was inspired by the Holy Spirit today to say, hey, you know, he's all we need, but he's looking at you and say, you're all I need. I want my church to be in operation like Jesus was in operation. Jesus went away so all the power that he had in ministry could be in you as a church of Jesus Christ. And so he needs you to cooperate with him. And so Paul says, Timothy, stir up the gift. Remember who you are in Christ. I want to talk to you about ways we neglect the supernatural. And then at the end of the service, as we did last week, I'm going to ask you all to come forward, and you're going to have to really just get real close to the front. Some of you might want to help me and get on top of this platform and face this way. And we're just going to ask God to inspire us. We're going to stay in a time of worship and praise. We're going to provoke the moving of the Holy Spirit. We're seeking to be a church that responds to God. And so we want you all to come forward and stand in the presence of God and begin to respond in worship and praise. Because God says this, as you praise me, I will inhabit your praise. I will set up my throne where you thank me. And so the more you thank him, the more you praise him, the more you focus on him, the greater his powerful throne is going to be established in your life and in this church. And so this morning, or actually last night, I was here and I was inspired by Pastor Charles and the way he dances. He provoked me to start dancing. Thank God there wasn't a mirror to make me feel self-conscious. But the man inspired me. Now, you need to get in God's presence and let him inspire you. We don't do this enough. We get inspired by hell. We get inspired by negative things. And instead of going in our closet and saying, oh, God, I need you. Inspire me today to go forth and face this world. Instead of doing that, we just kind of take it on with our natural strength and our natural ability, and we miss the power of God in our life. Now, ways we neglect the supernatural. Number one, we have an unrenewed mind. We have an unrenewed mind. God works as your thoughts agree with his thoughts. God speaks in the spirit, and your mind must pick it up. Your radio receiver is your mind, and the transmitter is your spirit. And the spirit is sending information to the mind. It's telling the mind, lift up your hands, or it's telling the mind, shout unto the Lord, or it's telling the mind, read the word. And your mind has to respond and has to hear that signal from heaven itself. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says this of the natural man, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I've told you this before. Rena and I have seen instant miracles manifest before our eyes. We've seen blind people with their eyes open. There was a man that for 4 days we had watched him. He was the village blind man. Everybody knew him. He was born blind. This man was in his probably 30s to 40s. We saw these pastors lay hands on him. It was right in front of us. His eyes were open. He saw clearly. They had him count how many fingers. And I remember watching the man as he went through the crowd, and the crowd would circle around him and do this whole thing. And then they would shout and jump and leap. And then he'd go to another section and they'd circle around. And I watched him in the crowd in the stadium that we were having this crusade. And After he was out of sight, my mind said, was he really blind? I saw it with my own eyes. And sometimes you say, well, if I could see it with my own eyes, I'd believe it. No, you won't. You'll only believe it when your mind agrees with God. If you stay in the natural mind, you'll always be an unbeliever. See, it says in the Bible that the God of this world has blinded their minds. Their reason has been darkened. And it says the natural mind does not receive the things of the Spirit. You cannot receive the things of the Spirit if your mind is not renewed. You need to get into the book. Your thoughts need to be God's thoughts. In Colossians 3, 1 and 2, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seating at the right hand of God, setting your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And here, the five senses will always pull us to this world. And they're good. The five senses are good. But there's a sixth sense that is greater. Years ago in Jamaica, I was ministering the Word of God. And in the middle of ministering the Word of God, there was a man that had fallen asleep in the service. I have that ability to heal insomnia. And this man had fallen asleep in the service. And I felt an impression, a thought from heaven that said, wake up the man. He's a mighty servant of mine that I will use in praise and worship. And I'm preaching the word and I'm thinking these thoughts and I'm thinking, that is not God. This man didn't even care. He's fallen asleep in my message. He didn't deserve that word. And my natural mind was rejecting. It wasn't focused on God. It was focused on what I could see. And so often we're deceived by what we see. And it says, you've got to put your mind on things above. You've got to look at Christ and who he is and get his perspective on the matter and put and renew your mind. An unrenewed mind will resist the supernatural. Number two, a stubborn will neglect the supernatural. In Hosea, it says, for Israel is stubborn like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them foliage like a lamb in open country. Ever dealt with a stubborn animal? I've had some stubborn pets before, you know, some dogs and stuff, and they're just so stubborn. You know, you just try to get that sock out of their mouth or, you know, the doll out of their mouth or whatever, and they're just so stubborn. And their neck is stiff. Have you ever been that way? Maybe you're feeling that way this morning. You're saying, oh, I don't want to go forward already. Blake's told us he's going to ask us to come forward. I wish I hadn't come to the service today. It's going to be embarrassing for me. And you're laughing because you know what I'm talking about. We've been there. 2 Kings 17, it says, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, every seer saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I have commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. Stubborn will. Just, I'm not going to respond. Number three, third thing that will neglect the supernatural is weak faith. Just simply, you don't believe. You have weak faith. You don't sure that God, you believe that God can use somebody, but not you. I mean, God could bless Moses and God could bless Roger and Carlito, but he couldn't bless you because somehow you exclude yourself in what God can do. I guess because you know yourself so well. If God could use me, he could use anybody, so he probably can't use me because I'm so messed up. I want you to know that God can use us all. It says on all flesh, the Holy Spirit will fall. And if your flesh is big, that's just more flesh that he'll fall on. You just need to have faith. Romans 4, 19 and 20, it says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, talking about Abraham, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. What did he do then? If he didn't consider the five senses, it was that sixth sense, Romans 4, 19 and 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So as he looked at his body and said, this is never going to happen, he turned his eyes off his body and looked on the promise of God and considered God and said, God is bigger than my problem. God is bigger than my limitations. And it said he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So in the middle of him thinking of the promises, he began to praise God. That is setting your mind on things above. That is your faith growing. Number four, the fourth way that we neglect the supernatural is that we're bound by the flesh. Some of us cannot stand very long in the presence of God because our flesh dictates to us the timetable. You know, the addiction of tobacco or the addiction of food calls you out of a service before God is finished with you in the service. Your mind draws back to that thing that you've allowed in your life again and again and again, and it is controlling you now. The body makes a great slave, but a horrible master. And you cannot respond to the Spirit. The Bible says, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so the flesh sometimes dominates the Spirit. There's a constant battle between the flesh and the Spirit. You ever felt that? Romans 6:16 says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness?" In other words, whoever you yield to, if you come up this morning and you're yielding to God and saying, "Okay, I'm up here by obedience. I'm not going to be willful. I'm standing here. I'm really believing the pastor is leading us to get refreshed in the Spirit. I'm up here and I'm going to put my mind on God." As you begin to put your mind on God, the Bible says that the mind that is set on the flesh will be controlled by the flesh, but the mind that is set on the Spirit will be controlled by the Spirit. And so all of a sudden, the control, the influence of the Holy Spirit will have predominance in your life as you set your mind there, as you respond. So whoever you yield to. So at this moment, when you're standing up here and yielding, there should be the influence of the supernatural God moving in your life. Now, that's ways that we neglect. Let's look at ways to provoke the supernatural. And then we're going to have time of prayer. 2 Kings 22, I love this verse. It says, "He turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord." This is the king that said that the prophet said, "You're going to die." And the king turned his face to the wall and sought God, and God heard him. And God changed his mind and lengthened 15 years of his life because he turned his face. See, he provoked something in the moving of God. And it says before the prophet got out of the court of the king, he turned around and said, "You're going to live 15 more years." Isn't that interesting that you can provoke the moving of God in your life? Number one, develop great expectancy. Hallelujah. I have great expectancy that God's going to do a great thing in the Kings County. It's been prophesied time and time again. I believe it in my inner man. I've heard it. Even the moving of the Holy Spirit in the month of August and September. We've started to see momentum coming in the realm of the Spirit, and people are getting ministered to. We've seen salvation, and now it seems like God wants to move us in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I think there's more salvations that are coming because it's always the power of the Holy Spirit is always to witness to others and win others to Jesus Christ. But there seems to be a wave of the Holy Spirit that he has spoken about, and already it's been confirmed in our services that God is moving in a new special way among us. And I think it's going to increase. Of course, Rena and I go on vacation. Hallelujah. Next Saturday, we take the train Amtrak all the way up to Vancouver, Canada, and we'll be gone for 15, 16 days. And I've already instructed the pastors. I want to continue the moving of the Holy Spirit in these services. And I think they're going to get greater because I won't be around, so I won't hinder anything. Nah, come on. So look with me in Matthew 9:29, expectancy. I want you to expect that God is going to do great things. It says, "Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you." Isn't that interesting? According to your faith. What is your faith this morning? According to your faith. In other words, God says, write your own ticket. You want me to move among you? You want me to inspire you? You want me to give you words for this nation, for these, your children? According to your faith, let it be done to you. Matthew 17:19-20, it says, "His disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for Blake." Can you put your name there? Nothing will be impossible for Oh, come on, guys. Come on. Nothing will be impossible. Put your name there. Nothing will be impossible for. Isn't that cool? Nothing. And that's the Bible. And we need to have that expectancy in God. And if you don't have that expectancy, Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And so you need to just stir up your faith and provoke God thoughts about him blessing your life. Number two, don't shut down. Many times God begins to move and it's not according to our timetable or it's not according to our comfort zone, and so we shut down. We don't want to get out there. We're afraid to go too far. And so we shut down. Like Peter walking on the water, he walked a few steps supernaturally, and then he shut down. He began to look on the circumstances, and he sunk down in the water. 1 Corinthians 14:26 tells us what our services should be. How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. What a service. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. And there are times that we quench the Holy Spirit. He can be affected by God Almighty living inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit can be quenched. He can be subdued. Isn't that sad? We can hinder him, and we need to respond to him. Number three, don't shut down, but begin to respond. Number three, don't despise prophesying. Did you notice it was in the plural? Prophesying. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, do not despise prophesying. We've had it this morning. We've heard the word of the Lord through Roberto and others that God wants us to come closer to him and draw nearer to him, and that he was calling us to be a connected people with God. Now, prophecies, when they start to respond, in any given service, on a Sunday morning, a teaching service, on a weekend service, that's what I would call for all of the community. It's not necessarily a believer service, but it's for all of the community. It's a place for instruction. It's a place for teachings. And so the Bible in 1 Corinthians 14 says there are to be two or three prophecies in one given service. And it says if you have another prophecy, it's a valid prophecy, but hold it. Because what happens there is you get three or four different thoughts and people can't focus on what God is saying. And so they need a limited exposure to what God's saying. So even in our normal services, there'll be two to four prophecies in a giving service. Four would be a lot. And those that have prophecy, they would be valid, but they are to hold it. So if you're in one of our services and you see Doug come up or Mike come up or David come up and they give prophetic utterances and you have a word, it could be really be the word of the Lord. But if there's been three, it's time for you to say, you know what, I'm going to hold that for another time because the scripture gives us an order. But if we have believer services like our spirit explosion, I mean, there are times like in the temple of the tabernacle of Moses, in which the Holy Spirit fell upon 70 elders and they all prophesied at once. They're all just, you know, speaking to God directly and prophesying all at once. It seems to be confusion, but what it is, it's a release of the Holy Spirit in his church. Nobody's confused because they're all believers. But when there's unbelievers among us, we have to really limit the expression so that everyone would have understanding. But there's a tendency in us to draw back. And to think, you know, I wonder if this is God speaking or man speaking. And to despise the way that God has selected to speak in planet Earth now. And it's through his church. It's through people. And sometimes through people, you get their temperament and their personality. And God knows that. God will select somebody that's got a mercy ministry to get up and talk about judgment in a merciful way. And then somebody that's got sort of a black and white nature who sees things judgmentally, God will anoint his personality to get up and talk about mercy to keep the balance in between. We're just a hose that would transmit the water of God to others. But you know, as that rubber hose lays out in your yard, the sun heats it up. You ever gone out to get a drink of water, turn it on the spigot, run there and drink, and all of a sudden it's hot water? Some of us need the cooling of the Holy Spirit in our personality because too much of us is coming across. You know what I'm saying? And when some of us comes across, let's church learn just to spit out the seeds and not despise what God is trying to say. Number four, this is the last principle, develop the Holy Spirit's fullness. When we're talking about the inspiration of God, we need the Holy Spirit's fullness. You can be full of the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18 through 21, it says, be filled, this is a command, with the Spirit. How do we do that? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Here's some specific ways that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit: by singing, by worship, by submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And as we come forward in just a moment and begin to sing to the Lord and wait upon Him, we're not just singing in the air. What we're really doing is saying we want the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We want God to fill His temple. We want to be controlled of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Have you ever seen anybody drunk? I'm not talking about you drunk. I'm talking about somebody else drunk. You can tell it by the way they talk. You can tell it the way they look. They smell a certain way. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, your speech is affected. Do you ever see somebody drunk thinking they're tougher than they are? Acting stupid? Well, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, He's going to anoint you. And you're going to act ways that you probably wouldn't act before. You're going to act the right way, not the wrong way. You're really going to get in a sober mind that God has about you. 1 Corinthians 14:1, 15 and 40 talks about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And see, Koinonia, we're charismatics with brains, but we're charismatics. We want the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We want God to come among us and speak. But especially that you may prophesy. You will not prophesy. You will not move in your gift until you desire earnestly and say, oh God, I desire, I desire, I desire. The people that have anointing to minister to people are people that have a desire. What is the conclusion? How should it be in our services? What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. Now let's just pause there. Here's the conclusion. This is how it works. If I'm going to pray for David in my understanding, I will to do it. I decide to do it. In other words, God's not going to force me to pray for David or Roberto or Juan. But let's say I'm going to pray. I will pray in my intellect. So I'm going to pray for Carlito, Charles Williams. But I'm not going to pray in English. I'm going to pray in Spanish. Señor, en tu nombre, te pido que tú vayas a bendecir este hombre fuerte, Carlito. Doesn't Carlito sound good? Huh? And now, some of you didn't understand that. Some of you did understand that. And I don't have to interpret it for you because you knew I was giving you an example of praying for Charles Williams in Spanish. Now, I will pray in the Spirit. And I don't have to interpret for you because you know what I'm doing. I've already interpreted what I'm about to do. I'm giving you an example of praying for Carlito in the Spirit. That sounds pretty good too. Right? It sounds like the language of heaven. It says in 1 Corinthians 13 that God, the Holy Spirit, knows all the angel languages and all of the earthly languages. And the Holy Spirit is inside you. And so we need to will. It says, I will pray in English and in Spanish in my intellect. I will pray in the Spirit. See, it doesn't come from your mind. It comes from your spirit. I will pray with my understanding and I will pray with the Spirit. It's a whole different direction. But you have to will it. God will not force your mouth open. There was an individual that came last night and has been in the Church of Jesus Christ for many, many years in charismatic churches and never received the gift of tongues. And their concept is, I can't. But my point is, you just need to step out and will to pray in the Spirit. And they said to me, well, how do I know it's not me? It will be you. It'll be you and the Holy Spirit working together. That's the way that He wills it. Have you ever felt inspired to speak to your kids? Let's say by anger. Have you ever felt inspired? It's really easy. Someone said public speaking is easy. Hit somebody in the mouth, and when they get up, they'll tell you exactly what they think with passion, right? It's about passion. And when you're inspired, something will come out of you. Now we've all been inspired by the wrong thing, but you can be inspired by God even to speak in your natural language. There were times that I thought, this is God talking through me. I was inspired. Now, if God can give me understanding in my mind, He can also give me words in my spirit, but I've got to yield. I've got to follow. I don't have to speak them in English or Spanish or in the languages of the Holy Spirit. I must will. I will. Note with me in 1 Corinthians, it says, I will sing with the Spirit, and I also will sing with the understanding. Let all things be done decently and in order. So often that verse is taught, do everything decently and an order. And so basically means shut down everything. We see extremes of this, gifts being used and embarrassing us on others. And so to react in it by shutting down rather than displaying how it should be expressed. I will sing with my understanding, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Who willed to do that? I did. It was hard because I didn't want you to hear my voice, but I willed to do it. I can do it in the spirit. Now, I know the words well enough that they came out of my understanding in English. I didn't have to think of them really because they were imprinted in my memory banks. But when I spoke in the spirit, I didn't have to think about it. I just opened my mouth and I willed to do it. Take away the mystery, church. It is just stepping out by faith and letting God use you. How did Peter walk on the water? He walked. He walked and he kept his eyes on God. When he got his eyes off God and on himself and on the situation, he sank. How do you speak in the spirit? You speak. How do you worship? You worship. You respond. And I know your mind's saying, well, you've got to not hinder the moving of the Holy Spirit.